thing I remember knowing was a lonesome.
Well, good morning, everyone. April Marie here. So great to start this my week off with you guys. Filling in for Jeff Poor. If you're not following me on social media, you can find me on Facebook and X at April Marie. That's APRYLMARIE, April Marie. I am so excited to have my next guest on. You guys heard me talking about him a little bit last week. If I were an Arizona resident, as opposed to an Alabama resident, Sheriff Mark Lamb would have been my choice for U.S. Senate. He is just an absolute beast at the border. He understands all the problems we've got going on there and how important it is for the safety and security of all of us across the nation to get that thing closed. Pleased to have Pinal County Sheriff Mark Lamb join us this morning. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning, April, and thank you for the intro. I appreciate it. I could have used your vote.
Well, you really, I met you at the FAIR conference, the immigration conference that they put on, connecting radio hosts around the country to strong supporters of a secure border a couple years ago. And I've just loved talking to you since. Talk to us a little bit about, you were just at the border yesterday giving, or last week, I guess, when I was on air, giving a tour to a member of Congress. What are you seeing there right now?
Well, this is the summer, so it's always a little bit down, you know. And when we talk, we look at Joe Biden, and he came out and did some things, and now they're talking about how they reduced the numbers. No, the numbers naturally go down during the hot months because it's so incredibly dangerous and just miserable out in the desert this time of year. But the numbers are still there. Look, we still have a ton of gotaways coming through. There's two types. There's the layups, the people that just come across and give up and maybe make an asylum claim. And then there's also the gotaways, the people that are in the camouflage clothes, the carpet shoes, that are trying to avoid law enforcement detection. And in the Tucson sector, we lead the way. And they estimate it's between 250 and 500 a day that are coming in. So we deal with a lot of that where we're at, whether it's in vehicles. We had a pursuit last week involving one of those vehicles and a bailout. We've had some pretty big drug busts recently. So, yeah, it's a pretty active still.
Well, we talk about the gotaways, and last week I saw some statistics on the number of individuals who they caught who were on the terror watch list, or the number of individuals they caught who they then run a background check on and find should not be here. What are your biggest worries about these gotaways who who they are crossing the border that is just do not want to be apprehended, do not want to turn themselves in?
You know, my biggest worries are, who are they? You know, just with the sheer amount of numbers, at one point, the Border Patrol is telling me we're only able to vet about 5% of these people. And what we see a lot is ID dumped. What that means is they'll get to the border and they dump their IDs. So we find these huge piles of identifications, passports, all that stuff. They dump it because then they can say make up a new name, say wherever they're from, and it doesn't matter. And so it doesn't matter to the, you know, obviously our government doesn't care enough. And now how do they go back? And most of our countries are third world countries. So even if you were to call and do a background check on somebody from Sudan, what are the chances that the government's going to have anything on them? It's not like here where everything's computerized and just, you know, where you can get a criminal history report. I mean, it is just so extensive. And then a lot of these people actually have criminal histories here. People that, like a couple of weeks ago, Border Patrol stopped seven people that were convicted sex offenders. People that were convicted of sex offenders here in this country, sent back, and they were either convicted of a sexual assault or actually some of them were actually rape. Some of them were actually sexual misconduct with a minor. So luckily we stopped seven. How many did we not stop?
Right.
So I guess I get concerned about the people that might have terrorist ties. And it's not just the ones, I talked to the FBI and they said, it's not just the people that are on the terror watch list. It's the secondary and tertiary people. Those are the people that may not be on a list, but they're equally as involved in the terrorist organizations. I always equate it to like a biker gang. You have a biker gang and there's a fully patched member. And then there's the next level down is a prospect. So they have half a patch, you know, they're not fully patched. And then you have the hang around. Well, the prospects and the hang arounds do the majority of the work. And so my concerns are about those secondary, tertiary terrorist threats. You've got criminals coming in this country. I think they had 40,000 people they stopped last year that were convicted of a crime or wanted for a crime here in America that were trying to get back into our country. So those are the things that keep me up. And then the fentanyl and the other drugs.
Right.
Those are all things that, really concern me. And when you throw that all together, this is the greatest national security threat we're facing. This is what's claiming the most amount of American lives.
Well, and it is, they're trafficking in the fentanyl, human trafficking, gun trafficking, and it seems that in D.C., you know, we talk about it. I say we conservatives, we Republicans talk about it, but truly, this is an issue that goes across all political spectrums, and there isn't a person in this country who isn't feeling the results of this porous, if not open, border. What is the morale situation?
Can I just say one thing to that?
Yes.
If we had an honest media, if the media was truly doing journalism and reporting things the way they're supposed to be reported, then all people would see this as the problem that it is, Republicans, Democrats, and Independents. But because the media, if you're watching CNN or MSNBC or one of those more liberal, more progressive stations, you're going to get a much different idea of what the border is than if you watch Fox and Newsmax and OAN and Real America's Voice. I mean, you're going to get a very different view. So I think that journalism in this country, part of the First Amendment is the media. You know, their ability to tell the truth really has an impact on this country. That's why the Founding Fathers put it in the First Amendment. So I think where we're at is large in part because the media has failed to tell the truth to the people.
Absolutely. And worse than failed to tell the truth, there are media outlets that are outright lying. They want you to believe each and every person crossing the border is a dreamer who's going to be the next valedictorian, is going to be the next person to, you know, do something amazing in this nation. And unfortunately, that's not everyone's intent. There are people crossing the border with very bad intentions or no clue whatsoever what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Let me ask.
You can't keep letting the third world of the third world come in and not expect to become third world yourself.
That is such a great point. How is morale? What are you seeing when you talk to your officers, when you talk to the federal law enforcement there, when you talk to neighboring counties, just in terms of recruiting those to work the border or those who have worked the border and feel like this administration is, if possibly even hostile to them?
In terms of the border, for example, my agency morale is high. Why? Because we're out there doing our job. We're frustrated because we can do it every day because the government's not doing their job. We feel like we're not getting any traction. But we're working hard every day, and we're expending a lot of resources to help the federal government. You take some other local jurisdictions and counties, they're frustrated because maybe their agency isn't as aggressive as maybe we are dealing with the border issue. And then you go into the federal side. The federal side, those guys are just miserable. They hate, they're not able to do their job, but they've become glorified babysitters. You constantly have the media attacking ICE. You know, ICE is the removal portion of it and the detention portion of it. And then you have Border Patrol, who is the border security piece of it. And then you have Customs and Border Protection. Those people control the ports. And all of them are very frustrated because they're overwhelmed, they're overworked, they've become glorified babysitters, and they're not able to do the job that they know needs to be done and that they're capable of doing. You can imagine how frustrating that would be to have somebody, this administration, put handcuffs on you for the job that you know you're supposed to be doing.
Oh, absolutely. And we've seen in Texas, they've got the governor there has said enough. we're going to do what we can statewide. This has gone to the courts. Arizona, how are you feeling about your governor and her role in trying to secure the border?
Well, first of all, Arizona started this back in 2010, 2011 with something called SB 1070. They tried to take some control of it. I think the problem that Arizona, the mistake they made is they made the mistake of getting into the immigration portion of it. You have immigration and you have border security. Those are, while they intertwine most of the time, they are still two separate issues. You need to protect your borders and you also have to deal with immigration. Well, I think that bill dealt too much with immigration. And what Texas learned from that is Texas said, look, what we need to do is talk about the border security piece of it, saying if you come into this country and break the law, then we should be able to enforce it, which is, I think, absolutely correct. Mm-hmm. One thing that most people don't realize is immigration, and I'm going to ask you, well, I don't want to put you on the spot.
No, go ahead.
It's your radio show. Most people don't realize that immigration is not, that authority was not given to Congress in the Constitution. Article 1, Section 8 gave the authority of Congress to establish uniform rules of naturalization. Immigration was actually given over time through the Supreme Court and through other courts, which is why I think you're seeing such a struggle, why they're ping-ponging that issue back and forth from the Supreme Court to the lower district court, because they are trying to figure out who has that right, you know, the immigration piece of it. But I think Texas absolutely has the right to protect their borders, and I'm glad that they're fighting this. I wish Arizona would do more. I'm not hopeful with the current governor, and I'm not super hopeful. We're not looking real great. We're a red state, but we're broken politically, and the left has really taken advantage of that. And Arizona's at a real critical time right now as to whether what we're going to look like in the next 4, 6, 10 years.
Well, I'm glad you transitioned to that. That was I was going to wrap up this interview with that. So Arizona is, of course, a very key state, but we've seen some changes in terms, as you said, there's been some challenges even within the party of different kind of more factions evolving. And what do you see in terms of the presidential election and Trump versus Kamala? What does the energy feel like? What does the organization feel like? What are your thoughts leading into that?
You know, look, I ran for the U.S. Senate here because I thought that I would really be able to help President Trump secure another victory here. I don't know what it looks like. It's a day-by-day thing. I still think President Trump's going to win in Arizona, but it's going to be tough. And really what Arizona has, you know, we have a late primary. Our primaries are in August. They moved it to July 30th. They moved it up 1 week. We have a broken Republican Party where we can't seem to get along. We've got a huge cross-section of independents in this state that want to vote conservative, more conservative than liberal, but they find themselves getting really wrapped up in what the media sells them on who the best candidate is. And it's not always the best candidate. And so we found ourselves in this thing where we've lost some really key elections that we shouldn't have lost. And part of it is we have 27 days of early ballot. I think that is a terrible idea. And it allows them 27 days to go out and really ballot chase and get as many ballots as they can. And it makes, and those, by the way, those laws were passed by Republican legislatures. And so I think we did ourselves an injustice in trying to make voting as easy as possible. And reality is I think that voting is a very important part of our citizenship. And it shouldn't be so easy as to just mail something in. I think that should require a little bit more than that. And it should require that shows some real citizenship on your part. Look, for a lot of those reasons, we've kind of lost our way here in Arizona, and we're hoping to take it back. But I still think President Trump comes out on top in Arizona right now. But, man, they're doing the best they can to paint. Well, it's usually what you find out in an open field where there's tons of cows and bulls, and it drops, and it's steamy, and it stinks. And they're doing the best they can to paint what they've got in Washington, D.C., to make her look like a great candidate.
Yep. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today. If our listeners want to find out more about you, they want to follow you, where can they do so?
You can come on Instagram, probably where I'm most active, American Sheriff, or on Twitter, which I don't love because haters and trolls and journalists on there. But that's Sheriff Lamb 1. And or you can come to SheriffLamb.com.
You got it.
I'll be transitioning my site from the Senate site to a site that's more focused on Sheriff Lamb. So thank you so much for having me on, April. Appreciate it.
Thank you for taking the time to call him today. All right. With that, we're going to hit a quick break. And when we come back, we'll continue to talk about the border, how absolutely important it is that we secure that, what we know is going on there. We'll also talk a little bit more about just some of the issues that came up this weekend. We're going to get into Elon Musk interviewing Trump tonight, how fun that's going to be. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Jeff Porcia Show with April Marie.